Our scripture reading this morning will come from three different places. The first place will be from 2 Samuel chapter 9, and then we will read a portion of chapter 16, and then the text for this morning, which is in chapter 19. But let us begin with 2 Samuel chapter 9 for the sake of context. And you notice I've titled the sermon, The King and a Cripple, Part 2. Part 1 was chapter 9. Part 2 is this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 9, the verses 1 through 13. This is the word of God. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They called him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "Your servant," he asked. He replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He is at the home of Machir, the son of Amiel of Lo-debar." So King David had him brought from Lo-debar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth, your servant," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given you, your master's grandson, everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet. And then if you turn with me to chapter 16, 2 Samuel 16, we'll read the first four verses. 2 Samuel 16. When David had gone a short distance beyond the summit, there was Ziba, the steward of Mephibosheth, waiting to meet him. He had a string of donkeys saddled and loaded with 200 loaves of bread, 100 cakes of raisins, 100 cakes of figs, and a skin of wine. The king asked Ziba, "Why have you brought these?" Ziba answered, "The donkeys are for the king's household to ride on. The bread and fruit are for the men to eat, and the wine is to refresh those who become exhausted in the desert." The king asked, "Where is your master's grandson?" Ziba said to him, "He is staying in Jerusalem because he thinks, 'Today the house of Israel will give me back my grandfather's kingdom.'" Then the king said to Ziba, "All that belonged to Mephibosheth is now yours." "I humbly bow," Ziba said. "May I find favor in your eyes, my lord the king." And then finally from 2 Samuel chapter 19, beginning at verse 24 and reading through verse 30. 2 Samuel 19, beginning at verse 24. Mephibosheth, Saul's grandson, also went down to meet the king. He had not taken care of his feet or trimmed his mustache or washed his clothes from the day the king left until the day he returned safely. When he came from Jerusalem to meet the king asked him, "Why didn't you go down with me, Mephibosheth?" He said, "My lord the king, since I, your servant, am lame, I said, 'I will have my donkey saddled and will ride on it so I can go with the king.' But Ziba, my servant, betrayed me, and he has slandered your servant to my lord the king. My lord the king is like an angel of God, so do whatever pleases you. All my grandfather's descendants deserve nothing but death from my lord the king, but you gave your servant a place among those who eat at your table. So what right do I have to make any more appeals to the king? The king said to him, "Why say more? I order you and Ziba to divide the fields." Mephibosheth said to the king, "Let him take everything, now that my lord the king has arrived home safely." Thus the reading of God's word from 2 Samuel 9, 16 and chapter 19. One of the biggest questions that is often asked about our text is concerning Mephibosheth. Was Mephibosheth guilty of betrayal, or was Mephibosheth innocent? The charge that came from Ziba, was it true? Did Mephibosheth do those things? Or is what he said to David actually true, that he remained faithful? There are a number of commentators who take the position that Mephibosheth was guilty. Guilty of what? We saw in chapter 9 David's covenant kindness to Mephibosheth. David wants to express kindness to the house of Saul for the sake of Saul's son Jonathan. He learns from Ziba that Mephibosheth is alive as a crippled, a son of Jonathan. He calls Mephibosheth before him and he promises Mephibosheth covenant kindness. "Don't be afraid," David said, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." David puts Ziba in charge of the household with his 15 sons and 20 servants on behalf of Mephibosheth. Yet in chapter 16, as David has left Jerusalem, now we find Ziba appearing to David just over the summit of the Mount of Olives. Absalom has declared himself king. The king and all his household have left Jerusalem. His sons and daughters are with him. But Mephibosheth, who sat at the king's table, is not with him. Ziba shows up to David with all kinds of supplies, food. He's got the donkeys saddled. He's got a skin of wine to refresh those exhausted in the desert. And the king asked, "Where is your master's grandson?" Ziba said, "He is staying in Jerusalem because he thinks today the house of Israel will give me back my grandfather's kingdom." Ziba's charge is that Mephibosheth is being unfaithful, that Mephibosheth wants to be king, that because Mephibosheth has a son, though a cripple, his son perhaps could be once again king of Israel on behalf of the house of Saul. The king said to Ziba, "All that belonged to Mephibosheth is now yours." There are some commentators who take Ziba and what he has said very seriously. They question Mephibosheth's loyalty, his desire to serve and love the king. They're not impressed with his answers in chapter 19. But if you look carefully at our text, you can clearly see that Mephibosheth is faithful, a faithful servant of David. Mephibosheth is the example of a believer who is faithful to God and God's king. One clue that clues us in that Ziba is not faithful is what comes at the end of the section in chapter 16. When the king has given him all that belongs to Mephibosheth, we read, that Ziba humbly bows. In chapter 9, as David appears, as Ziba appears before David, Ziba does not bow. It's Mephibosheth, the cripple, who bows. When called before the king, the cripple humbly bows before the king, though he cannot use his legs. After the king has given him covenant kindness, again we read that Mephibosheth bows before the king. When David gives Ziba instructions, he does not bow. But in chapter 16, after David has given him everything, Ziba bows like he's a faithful servant. You see, Ziba is playing a political game. Ziba is interested in his own self, in the things of this world that he can have, that he wants to have. He does not care about a cripple. And so when David sees Mephibosheth again, he is not sure what to think. We have seen in verse 24 of chapter 19 that Mephibosheth is described as Saul's grandson. We read that as all the men of Judah have come out to meet David at the Jordan River, Mephibosheth is also there to meet the king as he returns to the land. We read in verse 24 that he also went down to meet the king, and he had not taken care of his feet or trimmed his mustache or washed his clothes from the day the king left until he returned safely. He's not pleasant to look at, is he? Not only is he a cripple, he cannot walk, but we also read that he has not taken care of himself. He hasn't trimmed his feet which aren't pleasant to look at in the first place. He has not trimmed his mustache. He has not washed his clothes, and he stands in contrast to all the men of Judah, to Ziba and his servants, to the 1,000 men of Benjamin, to Shimei, who has come to David at the Jordan. They are there running in the water to ferry the king across the water to show their love and loyalty to the king. And there on the other side sits the cripple who cannot move without the help of others. Yet the cripple sits before the king in mourning. How do we know? Because look at the last phrase of verse 24. He has not done this. Why? Since the day the king left until he returned safely. Mephibosheth is in mourning that the king has left. He has not led a rebellion. He has not thought that he is going to be king once again. But you say to yourself, well, maybe Mephibosheth hears that David has returned and perhaps he's putting on a one-day show. No. His mustache has not been trimmed since the day the king left. He has not washed his clothes since the day the king left. He has not taken care of his feet since the day the king left. It is clear that Mephibosheth has not secretly ran a rebellion against the king, but by the way that he looks, he's not fit to be a king, and the evidence on his body shows that he has been faithful since the king left. There should be no doubt for David upon Mephibosheth's appearance about his loyalty. And so in verse 25, when he came from Jerusalem, we're told again to meet the king, the cripple came from Jerusalem all the way down to the Jordan to meet the king. And the king asked him, "Why didn't you go with me, Mephibosheth?" David doesn't ask how he's doing. David shows no concern or thanks that Mephibosheth has come down there. Instead, first question, it shows that David has believed Ziba's story. "Why didn't you go with me, Mephibosheth?" He said, "My lord, the king, Since I, your servant, am lame, I said, I will have my donkey saddled and will ride on it so I can go with the king. David and his household in chapter 16 had left Jerusalem in a hurry. We read that he climbed through the Kidron Valley and up the side of the Mount of Olives, barefoot, we're told in chapter 15. How is it that a cripple such as Mephibosheth, who cannot walk, could have gone with the king under such circumstances? But the cripple has tried. I, your servant, am lame, but I wanted to have my donkey saddled, the royal animal, and ride on it like one of the king's sons, because he sat at the king's table like one of the king's sons. But what happened? Ziba, my servant, betrayed me. In chapter 16, Ziba has gone to David. And what does he have with him? Donkeys that are saddled. He was supposed to saddle a donkey for Mephibosheth. He does not saddle a donkey for Mephibosheth, but he brings the saddled donkeys to the king. You could say to yourself, well, maybe Ziba is being friendly to the king. He recognizes that the king and his household is more important than Mephibosheth. But David had given Ziba one specific instruction that his life he was supposed to do. He was to take care of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth has asked for something in a time of need and desperation. And Ziba left the cripple and went to the king. And he slandered Mephibosheth. He is staying in Jerusalem because he thinks, today the house of Israel will give me back my grandfather's kingdom. And David gives to Ziba all that belonged to Mephibosheth. But you notice in verse 26 and 27, that Mephibosheth, in the Hebrew, does not even mention Ziba's name. My translation has included it, but it is not mentioned here in our text because, according to Mephibosheth, what Ziba is not important. What is important is that the king is home, that the king has returned, that David, the God's king, the king of Israel, has once again returned to the land. And Mephibosheth leaves it in the king's hands. My lord the king is like an angel of God, so do whatever pleases you. We've heard that before, haven't we? In chapter 14, as Joab sends a woman of Tekoa to come and to appeal to David to bring Absalom home, the woman said to David, may the word of the Lord, the king, bring me rest, for my lord the king is like an angel of God in discerning good and evil. May the Lord be with you. David stands before Mephibosheth as God's king, as judge. And Mephibosheth recognizes his place before God. He recognizes that David is the king. He recognizes that God has placed him there and that God has given him wisdom. And he surrenders himself, the whole matter, to David's judgment. As he trusts God, he trusts David. And he goes on to say in verse 28, all my grandfather's descendants deserve nothing but death from my lord the king. But you gave your servant a place among those who eat at your table. So what right do I have to make any more appeals to the king? In 2 Samuel 9, as David grants Mephibosheth the household of Saul, Mephibosheth bows down and said to David, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Dogs were unclean. Dogs were insignificant animals. Mephibosheth knows as he came to David that as a cripple, as a grandson of Saul and a son of Jonathan, David deserves to put him to death. The kings of the world in that era always killed off all the threats to the throne once having ascended to the throne. The last thing they would want is the possessions, the inheritance of the previous king to remain in Israel, to remind the people of the previous king. David has granted Mephibosheth life. David has granted him a return of the inheritance. And Mephibosheth did not forget. He knows he deserved nothing. He knows that he deserved death. The only reason he still had life was because of the grace of God that God had expressed to him through David, his king. In fact, David gave him a place at the king's table. What right do I have to make any more appeals to the king? And the king responds in verse 29, "Why say more? I order you and Ziba to divide the fields." David has not been functioning as the king of Israel. One of the reasons that Absalom was able to rebel and turn against him is because David was not sitting at the gate of the city, because David was not functioning as judge for the people and their disputes. And now as chapter 19 begins, we have read how the king has taken his seat at the gateway of the city. And now as he returns to the gateway of the land of Canaan, the Jordan River, the same place where Joshua had crossed the Jordan so long ago, opening up the land for God's people, David has the opportunity to function once again as judge. A cripple sits before him. A cripple who has been slandered. A cripple who has lost everything. A thief has taken from this cripple. David should have every inclination as the king to get to the bottom of this, to find out whether Ziba really did these things, to question Ziba, to defend Mephibosheth, the cripple, the helpless cripple in Israel. But what does David do? Why say more? "I order you and Ziba to divide up the fields." That's not justice. That's not doing the right thing. That's the king saying, "Well, I don't know really who did it, and I don't know who's true, who's saying the truth, so I'll just divide things up and give it to both of you." The king is bending to political pressure. Ziba has arrived at the Jordan River, and he knows that as David returns, David will speak to Mephibosheth. He knows that as he comes to the river with Shimei and 1,000 Benjamites, and Ziba arrives with his donkeys and 15 sons and 20 servants, that the king will feel the political pressure to do nothing. There is an argument going on in Israel. We read in verses 9 through 12 and 13 that the Israelites are arguing as to whether David should return as king. David has appealed to the tribe of Judah to come down to the Jordan, to his home tribe, to his own flesh and blood, to return to the Jordan and bring him home. David knows that the future of the kingdom is a possible division between Judah and the northern kingdom, the tribe of Joseph, as Shimei calls it, the tribe of Benjamin, Saul's tribe. David wants to unite the kingdom, and the last thing he is going to do before Shimei the Benjamite, the 1,000 Benjamites that he has brought with him, and Ziba, the steward of Saul's household, is punish Ziba for what he did to a cripple. This is not justice. This is not doing the right thing. This is pragmatism. I need to think how I can unite the kingdom. I'm not going to function as God's judge. I'm not going to do the right thing. I'm not going to abide by my principles. I'm going to come up with a solution that'll satisfy everybody. After all, Mephibosheth is just a cripple. I'll give half back to Ziba and half to Mephibosheth. And what does Mephibosheth say? Let him take everything. Let him take everything now that my lord the king has arrived home safely. What is important to Mephibosheth is not his possessions, is not his inheritance, is not the possessions of his father and grandfather Saul. What is important to Mephibosheth is that the king, God's king, has left the land, and now the king has arrived home. Even the king who did not grant him justice. Mephibosheth is not guilty. Ziba's story is not true. Mephibosheth the cripple is the only one in our story who is not playing a political game. The tribe of Judah is playing a political game. Shimei is playing a political game. Ziba is playing a political game, all out for their own interests. And David is playing a political game. But to Mephibosheth, it means nothing. What is important to Mephibosheth is God and God's king. We find David's world all around us even today. The inability for people to do the right thing. The inability for people to do the just thing. The treatment of loyal ones as being disloyal for political purposes. Disloyal ones being treated as loyal for political purposes. The inability of people in this world to act decisively and justly. It happens in company boardrooms. It happens at work. It happens at the union hall, in the legislature, in the halls of Congress, and in our courtrooms. And shamefully, it even happens in the church. Sometimes in the pew. Sometimes behind the pulpit, when a preacher doesn't dare say the truth, but only what is politically correct. Sometimes at denominational headquarters, where the person that is underneath their authority doesn't matter, as long as they keep their position. There are many people in this world who function exactly like David has in 2 Samuel 19. They're more worried about their positions. They're more worried about pleasing people than they are concerned about their principles before God. Mephibosheth does not play this game. He had every right to respond to David. David, that's not justice. I have been faithful to you. I have eaten at your table. I am a cripple. How could you treat me this way? I deserve it all back. But he turns the other cheek. Let him take everything now that my lord the king has arrived home safely. Can you say that with Mephibosheth? God has sent his son Jesus Christ, a king much greater than David, who did not bend for political purposes or say the right thing for his own interests here on this earth, but a king who expressed to you his covenant kindness by his own death on the cross, that paid for your sins. Before you knew him, you were a dead dog. You did not matter. You are insignificant. You had no reason to live or hope without God in the world. But God gave you his grace. He didn't have to. God stirred up in your heart a love for him. A grace that comes from Jesus Christ, God's King, God's Son, who paid for your sins. A grace that is undeserving. He has given you an inheritance that is forever in heaven. And even now, as you gather in his church, you eat at the King's table with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. But how precious is that to you? For Mephibosheth, that's all that he needed. For him, he could lose everything. His reputation, his possessions, all that he had. But if he had the king, he had all that he needed. Justice does not matter to him. Injustice committed against him does not matter to him. For he loves God and he loves God's King. And as long as God's King has returned home to his people, he needs nothing else. God has sent to you his King, Jesus Christ. He has stirred up in your heart a love for him, an eternal salvation that only he can give. In this world, David's world, of injustice, of wrongs being committed, of people not living up to principles and betraying others and those in need below them, you have a king. And that king is all you need. Mephibosheth said, "Let him take everything now that my lord the king has arrived home safely." God's king is Jesus Christ, and you have him. Can you say with Mephibosheth, "Let them take everything. In Jesus Christ, I have all that I need. For he is in heaven, and I belong to him. And someday I will go be with him forever." Amen. Father in heaven, this morning, once again, we are struck by the humbleness of your servant Mephibosheth. For Lord, though he is a cripple, Lord, though he's not pleasant to look at, he loved the king. Lord, we understand what it means to be a sinner. We understand what it means to be before you. For because of our sins, we are not pleasant to look at. We do not deserve your grace, but death. But yet, your great love has come to us. Your covenant kindness has come to us through Jesus Christ, so that we understand what it means to have a heart that knows you and has been regenerated to serve you and understand your grace and mercy. Oh Lord, help us to give up the things of this world which seek to cause us to compromise, to mistreat others. Help us to recognize the injustice that is done to us that seems to mean so much to us in this world that it's meaningless because we have the King. Help us to be satisfied with our Savior. Help us to be satisfied that the King has returned home from His death on the cross to the eternal place He has for us. May we, O God, take comfort with Mephibosheth that we are His, that we belong to Him forever. Instill this in us more and more each and every day as we face difficult situations, as we see compromises being done, that You would give us the courage to stand firm in You. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.